With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Lincoln County residents will not vote on the Pinecrest Nursing Home just yet. The county board on Tuesday voted no to put a referendum on the November ballot. WXPR's Katie Thorson reports.
The Lincoln County Board was considering a referendum to ask voters if they approved increasing taxes to fund Pinecrest Nursing Home operations, maintenance, and debt service. Pinecrest is a county-owned nursing home that the county says it can't keep affording the cost to run. It tried to sell the nursing home earlier this year, but that sale fell through after one of the board members filed a lawsuit. After that, the county board started to consider a tax increase to help cover the cost of the nursing home. The referendum presented to the board called for an increase of $5 million a year for 5 years. Two amendments to lower that amount failed before the county board ultimately rejected the referendum. Some supervisors opposed to the referendum wanted to feel more confident about the numbers and that a plan was in place to ensure taxpayer money wouldn't go to waste if the referendum were to pass.
I think this is premature. And I think, you know, we're rushing because of the November election. But that's not all that different from the guy who tells you, hurry, buy it now. Supplies are running low.
Others pointed out that every day the nursing home is open, it's costing the county money, and there are some major building improvements needed.
I don't think we're rushing. What we're rushing against is a $1 million boiler repair that could happen in 2 months, 1 month, tonight. I don't think we can wait till April.
Some people from the People for Pinecrest group spoke during public comment, saying the referendum as presented was disingenuous. They don't believe the county needs that much money to keep the nursing home operational. Rather than $25 million over 5 years, the group wanted $15 million over 10 years. Mike Southcomb spoke during public comment, calling the referendum as written a poison pill.
There is just so much missing and so much misinformation here that it makes us think it is designed to fail.
The resolution to put the referendum on the November ballot failed 11-8. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
Ahead of discussion, the county board chair told the board that senior management was still interested in buying the nursing home if the lawsuit that ended the sale was resolved. A different buyer has also expressed interest in buying Pinecrest. A federal judge has rejected Republican legislators' calls to give counselors at Wisconsin's troubled youth prison in Lincoln County more leeway in controlling and punishing inmates after a counselor died following a fight at the facility this summer. U.S. District Judge James Peterson sent a letter Tuesday to State Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Van Wengard and Democratic Governor Tony Evers, telling them if they want changes at Lincoln Hills Copper Lake Schools, they should file a formal legal motion and need to show current restrictions on counselors are endangering staff and inmates. The youth prison in northern Wisconsin in the past had been plagued by allegations of staff-on-inmate abuse, including excessive use of pepper spray, restraints, and strip searches. A lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union led to a consent decree that limits punishments. A group of Republican lawmakers have been pushing to relax the consent decree since Counselor Corey Pruill was killed in June. According to a criminal complaint, Pruill fell and hit his head on concrete pavement after a 16-year-old male inmate punched him in the face. He was pronounced brain dead 2 days later. Peterson wrote in his letter Tuesday that the consent decree has been in place for 6 years, and it's unfortunate that Pruill had to die to get state officials' attention. He went on to say that the way to demand change is through a legal motion, which would give all parties involved in the case a chance to weigh in. The judge noted that the consent decree does allow the use of handcuffs and confinement to protect anyone from harm, and he'd like to see evidence that the restrictions pose a risk to youth or staff. A new report shows the rate of juvenile crime has been falling for decades, but disparities remain. Brett Pivotel reports.
The Sentencing Project report shows the number of arrests for people younger than 18 fell more than 80% between 1996 and 2020. The number of young people in juvenile justice facilities on a typical day fell by 75% from more than 100,000 in the year 2000 to 27,000 in 2022. Study author Josh Rovner says public perception of the crime rate is often tied to hearing about individual crime. crimes.
Whether it's a homicide or a retail theft, that's an upsetting thing to hear. And the value in data is to put those events into context and understand that we have always had problems with public safety as a country. And to understand whether things are getting better or worse is pretty important if you're trying to figure out how to solve them.
Brett Pivato reporting.
The report showed in 2021, Wisconsin had 79 detained or committed youth per 100,000 young people. Michigan was at 82 per 100,000. The national average was 74. Wisconsin residents have a new tool to check on water quality in their local lakes and rivers. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources this week announced the release of a web-based tool called Wisconsin Water Explorer. It makes scientific data analysis accessible to the public by automating the process of finding and analyzing data. The tool provides insights into current conditions and trends through graphs, maps, and automated reports. The new tool is available on the Wisconsin Water Explorer webpage. Wisconsin will join the Internal Revenue Service Direct File program next tax season. The program gives eligible taxpayers the option to file their taxes online directly with the IRS for free. According to a joint news release from Governor Tony Evers' office, Senator Tammy Baldwin's office, and the Department of Revenue, the Direct File program applies for federal and state tax filings. The IRS lays out who is eligible to use Direct File on its website. Some types of income might make you ineligible to use it. People in 12 states were able to use the Direct File program during the most recent tax season as part of a pilot program. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.